ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. सो वेलकम टू अवर सैटरडे भगवद्गीता क्लास. सो वेलकम वन्स अगेन टू अवर संडे सैटरडे भगवद्गीता क्लास. वी आर नाउ इन द सेकेंड पार्ट ऑफ द सेकेंड चैप्टर from text 40 to 72. In text 39 to 41, Lord Krishna is beginning to explain the idea of Buddhi Yoga. From text 42 to 43, or text 42 to 53, Lord Krishna is explaining how one can attain divine consciousness, how one can attain to the pure spiritual platform by the practice of what he calls Buddhi Yoga. And he distinguishes this Buddhi Yoga as different from fruitive activity. That means activity that is done to of enjoying the fruits of the activity. And then finally, from 54 to 72, in response to Arjuna's question about a person who is situated in that divine consciousness, Lord Krishna explains the symptoms of such a person who is called a sthita pragyan, whose consciousness is fixed in spiritual, on the spiritual platform. Now, we know that in text 10 to 30 in the second chapter, Lord Krishna had explained Sankhya Yoga, the analytical study of spirit and matter. And after that, till text 39, Lord Krishna had urged Arjuna to fight because that was his duty as a Kshatriya. Now, Krishna is going to explain Buddhi Yoga, which Srila Prabhupada explains as devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Now, actually, we are going to find so many different words that are prefixed to yoga. Or the word yoga itself appears in so many different places in the Bhagavad Gita and also in other scriptures. So what exactly is yoga? Yoga means to fix the mind on the Supreme Lord by controlling the senses. So simultaneously, one should control the senses and engage all the senses in the mind in the service of the Lord. This is yoga. The word yoga comes from the Sanskrit root word yuj, which means to link or to yoke up. So yoga means to link ourselves with God, to revive our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. We have forgotten that eternal relationship. We are eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord Krishna. But having forgotten this and having desire to enjoy independently of Him, we have come to this material world to become false enjoyers, proprietors, and is meant to take us back to our original position as eternal servants of God. This is real liberation or mukti. Mukti hitvanyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthitihi. So when we are situated in our swarupa, our original constitutional position, that is real liberation. So yoga means to take us to that point of real liberation, to re-establish our lost link with God. It is lost from our point of view, not from God's point of view. Just like a young son may leave his parents and go away, the son may break the connection with the parents, but the parents in their heart always have that connection with the son. They will always remember, oh, he has gone. So in this way, God is always remembering his parts and parcels who have left him to enjoy independently in the material world. God is so merciful that He comes after the children, all His children, His parts and parcels in the material world, and he accompanies them in the duration of all their millions of lives of stay here. All of us have spent we don't know how many millions of lives in this world. We cannot say. And all through, for these crores and millions of years that we have been here, Lord Krishna has never left our side for even a moment. He is situated in our heart as our best friend and well-wisher. Upadrashtanumantaja bharta bhokta maheshwaraha. He is there. Paramatma iti chapyukto. He is there as the Paramatma, super soul in our heart. This is His mercy and love for all of us. But we, the rebellious souls, have left Him and forgotten Him. So to remind ourselves and re-establish this link is called yoga. Very simple. So what was Sankhya Yoga that we studied earlier in the second chapter? That was simply the process of identifying who that source or that Supreme Lord is. God has been described of all creation. Everything stems from Him. And the process of Sankhya Yoga means to identify that root. We see the tree, but we don't know where the root is. So finding the root means Sankhya. In other words, we see the creation, but we don't know what is the source of the creation. So ultimately understanding that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is a source of this creation, coming to this point by analytical methods, this is called Sankhya Yoga. Distinguishing spirit from matter, the temporary from the eternal. But having found the root, what should you do? You should water the root. So this is called Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Srila Prabhupada explains these two synonymously. That means they mean the same thing. So once we have understood that the Supreme Lord is the source of everything, then we should serve Him. This is the meaning of knowledge. Knowledge has no meaning if you understand who God is, but you don't serve Him. So therefore, Lord Krishna is going to describe all these different forms of yoga. But essentially, He is declaring that yoga means to perform that activity which ultimately revives our lost relationship with God. Now, in the 40th text of the second chapter, it is from here that Lord Krishna really begins to explain this concept of Buddhi Yoga. And he starts off by explaining Neha Bhikramanashosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasi Dharmasi Trayate Mahato Bhayat. He explains that there is no fear or loss in Buddhi Yoga. In other words, whatever devotional service we do, it is eternally to our credit. It is never taken away from us. It is a permanent credit into our spiritual bank account. No one can rob that from you. Even death cannot rob it from you. So see how wonderful this process of Buddhi Yoga is, which Lord Krishna is beginning to describe now. It is eternal. And Lord Krishna then goes on to explain that a person who strives for such Buddhi Yoga, for such eternal wealth, he is resolute and fixed in his purpose. Whereas others who are in material consciousness, they are not so resolute. They are many branched. Bahu shakha yanantasya buddhayo avyavasayinam. And so long as one is in material consciousness, so long as one wants to enjoy this world, one cannot obtain God. One cannot practice Buddhi Yoga properly. It is not possible. You cannot have one foot in a boat going one way and the other foot in a boat going the other way. As it is, the boat is always moving. It's a moving platform. It is difficult to stand on a boat. And if you stand with one foot on either boat, then naturally it is not a proper situation to be in. So therefore Lord Krishna explains, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya paharita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhovna vidhiyate. For a person whose heart is very much captivated by the desire to enjoy this world and to obtain all kinds of opulence and wealth, such a person's mind can never be fixed in this buddhi yoga. His buddhi can never become pure. And having explained what is buddhi yoga, now he is distinguishing karmakanda from this buddhi yoga, fruitive activity. Fruitive activity means that I perform certain activities with a desire to enjoy the fruits of those activities. I am doing a business and my sole aim is that I earn the money and enjoy to the best of my ability. This is fruitive activity. So there are different kinds of work. One kind of work is that you perform your business or your work at home or your studies or whatever your prescribed duties in life, but you do them according to what the Shastras prescribe. This is called prescribed duties. The second kind of work is capricious work, or work that is done whimsically. You don't care about scriptures, you don't care what is sin, what is piety, you do anything that comes to your mind without caring whether it is proper or improper. That is second category of work. And the third category is to not do anything at all. Inaction, to not perform your prescribed duty. Maybe not to commit sin or do acting whimsically, but to not perform your prescribed duty. So different kinds of activities are there in this material world. But actually, fruitive activity, according to the scripture, is called karmakanda. Fruitive activity according to our whims and fancies is capricious work, whimsical work. And inaction means neither of the two. But actually that also is a form of action, because you are taking a decision to not act. So therefore fruitive activities as per the Vedas are also outlined by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein he explains that most people are simply concerned with the different mantras and rules and regulations of the Vedas, not understanding the purpose of the Vedas. And Lord Krishna explains, Yavan artha udapane sarvatah samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanatah. He says, one who has understood the purpose of the Vedas, all the purposes of the Vedas are fulfilled for him. You know, in the olden days, there were different wells for different purposes. There used to be one well for bathing, another well for drinking water, another well for washing and so on. So all these different wells were required for the proper functioning of a village in those days. But if there was a river flowing close by, then there was no need for these different wells, because all the purposes that could be accomplished in all the different wells simply in the water of the river. There is a saying in India also that for one who is living on the bank of the Ganges, what is the need to dig a well? Because he has everything there. Similarly, for one who has understood the purpose of the Vedas, what is the need for him to follow all the different rules and regulations of the karmakanda, the different mantras, rituals and many, many other things? So then it is very important to understand what is the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is explained in the 15th chapter by Lord Krishna himself. Vedaishya sarvair aham eva vedya vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Lord Krishna, who is a compiler of the Veda and the knower of the Vedanta. If you have understood Lord Krishna, you have understood Vedas. If you have not known Lord Krishna, you don't know the Vedas. Even if you are the greatest scholar of the Vedas and you know all the mantras and shlokas of the Vedas, this is the crux, this is the essence of the Vedas, to know God. The purpose of scripture is to know God. But having studied the Shastra in a very scholarly way from childhood for 50 years, 70 years, but one doesn't know who is God or what is God, or one has not realized God, then such learning is simply a waste of time. So having established that he is the object of knowledge, now Lord Krishna is explaining how to translate this in practical action in our day-to-day life. Therefore we come to text 47. The very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita. I am sure you have all heard of this shloka. And this is the shloka that usually everybody quotes, and everybody thinks that this verse is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. But is this verse the essence? We will see. So kindly chant with me. Karmanyevadhikaraste Maphaleshu kadachana Ma karma phalahetubhur Ma te sangostva karmani. Translation: you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. Now, it is true that this verse is very important, but it is certainly not the essence of the Gita. There is much more to Bhagavad Gita than this. But the sad part is that people do not even actually understand this verse fully. People normally take this verse to mean that you should simply work hard day and night. And if you are working hard like this day and night, then you are a karma yogi. But that is not so. Simply working hard day and night doesn't make one a karma yogi. And when anyone tries to come to the path of spiritual life, devotional service, and this person wants to balance his or her life by spending some time in the temple, maybe every day or some days in a week, while not giving up the other activities or duties, there are many who criticize such a person, saying that you are neglecting your duties. Just yesterday one person came to me, one young boy. He works from 7 in the morning to 9:30 in the night every day, and even on Sundays, and his family does not allow him to come to any other activity in the temple because they say that you must work. Work is our dharma. So they are working and making this person work also from 7 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. every day. Is this work worship? This is simply animal existence. It is not even animals work so much. A human being's life is meant for self-realization. It is meant for thinking about something higher in life, for obtaining God, not simply working day and night, foaming at the mouth. Ultimately, for what are we working? And then such people quote this verse, karmanyevadhikaraste. They don't quote the other half, other three quarters of the verse. But what does this karmanya eva adhikar aste mean? It means that you have an adhikar or a right to perform your prescribed duty. Which means no one can take it away from you, you should do it. But people neglect the very next line. What is that? Ma phaleshu kadachana. Never be attached to the fruits of your activities. That they don't say. They work very hard morning to night and say that they are karma yogis, but the moment the fruits of the labor come, the money comes at the end of the month, they simply want to use that for sense enjoyment, for worldly pleasures, for nothing connected with God consciousness. So therefore, if they are really karma yogis, they should know that the first step in yoga is to be detached from the fruits of your action. This is a central theme that underlies the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. God is a little far away. Bhakti is a little further away. But at least at the basic level, if somebody wants to be called a yogi, he or she must be detached from the fruits of labor. What does it mean? It means that if you are a student, karmanya eva adhikar aste, your duty is to study as a student. So you study, don't neglect. But that doesn't mean that you should study 24 hours a day and not eat, not sleep, not do your spiritual activities. No. Whatever is the prescribed normal routine, one should follow. And having done our best for our studies, when the results come, we should be detached. If we get the gold medal or if we fail, we should be equipoise. Of course, we should not do our duty and then use this as a reason to explain our failure. If I don't study as I'm supposed to do, and then I fail, and then I say, well, I have to be detached from the fruits of the action. No. You cannot simply say, ma phaleshu kadachana. You have to also remember karmanya eva adhikaraste. So the two have to go together. Because in the last line, Lord Krishna explains, ma te sangastva akarmani. Don't be attached to not doing your duty. So your duty is to study, so you study. And having studied and done your job well, then you leave the rest to God, to Lord Krishna. And then whatever the result, be satisfied. This is the meaning of being detached, man. Work limitedly, as much is due. 8 hours is sufficient for a human being to work. Work 8 hours sincerely hard at your business. Whatever comes, whatever fruit comes as a result of that, be satisfied with that. It may be less, it may be more. Because human life, get only what is there in your forehead, what is there in your prarabdha. You are not going to get 1 paisa more, nor 1 paisa less. Kamasya nendriya priti labho jiveta jivasya tatva jigyasa nartho yascheha karmabhihi. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that the purpose of human life is not to work simply for the satisfaction of our senses. Kamasya na indriya priti, for the love of the senses and what satisfies the senses. No. Jivasya tatva jigyasa. You are meant for truth of life, absolute truth. Athata brahma jigyasa. So if you are going to do your business for 18 hours a day, 17 hours a day, does that leave you any time, any inclination, any energy for performing tatva jigyasa, inquiry into absolute truth? It is not possible. Nowadays, the struggle for existence has become so hard that everybody is forced to struggle in their studies, in their business, at any sphere of life, simply to keep afloat. But nevertheless, we should know that ultimately God is the provider. Forest and the ants in our home, they never go to work in their business or office. They have never been to school or college, but God is providing for them. So why should we think that by working harder and harder, we are going to get more, or that we are going to prevent disaster from happening? Are we going to prevent disaster simply because we have got a life insurance policy, or because we have worked hard and earned more money? That money that we have earned in crores could disappear in one moment. If that is what destiny wills. So we should rather depend on and have faith on the protection of God. This is the symptom of a person in advanced spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the symptoms of surrender are outlined in the Shastra as anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulyasya varjanam gopatritve varanam tatha rakshasyati iti vishvaso atmanikshepa karpanyam shadvidha sharanagatihi. The 6 symptoms of surrender. One is that we should accept all those things that are favorable for the progress in spiritual life. And we should reject all those things which are unfavorable for our spiritual progress. So what is favorable and what is unfavorable? It's very simple. If you don't have time for God, then how can it be something favorable for your spiritual life? We must create time for God. There is a saying, if you do not create time for God, God will not create time for you. When you need him, then he will not be there with you. So we should make time for God, and God will make time for us. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to God, he rewards you accordingly. Therefore, one must not try to work more than necessary. Rakshishyati iti vishvasa. To have faith that ultimately God is my protector. Gopatritve varanam tatha. That God is my maintainer. He is my supplier of everything. It is not my customers. It is not my suppliers or my managers or my employees or other the government that is providing for me. It is God who is supplying. And keeping this vision, one should work in life. And then whatever profits or losses come, one should be satisfied with that, understanding that this is a rule of destiny. Srila Prabhupada also, before he accepted the sannyas order, he was a householder, family man. And he was running a business. And he was doing all right for some time. And then sometime his business went into severe losses. And in a certain stage, when he was around 50 years of age, when his chemicals business went into great losses, immediately he could understand that this was an indication from the Lord that he should leave his business. And then he accepted Vanaprastha Ashram and retired to Vrindavan. And then he began to pursue the order of his spiritual master. He started translating the books from Srimad Bhagavatam into English, and he was preparing for his departure to the Western countries. So Srila Prabhupada understood all his losses and profits simply as the Lord's mercy. He did not complain, he did not blame God, he did not blame this person or that person. He was detached from the fruits. He tried his best as he could, as a businessman should. But when the losses came, he understood things were beyond his control. So therefore, Kanmannevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. This ma phaleshu kadachana is very, very important. When one becomes detached, automatically one becomes peaceful. One suffers in this world to the extent one is attached to the fruits of one's actions. If you want to be happy, become detached. So this is the consciousness of work. It is not enough to work, but one has to renounce the fruits of work. At a higher level, and we will discuss this at a later stage, one must offer the fruits to Lord Krishna. It is said that in this country, even if you wake up somebody in his sleep and ask him Bhagavad Gita, he will quote Karmanyavadhikaraste. But what is that essential verse of the Bhagavad Gita that we should quote if he was suddenly woken up in the middle of the night and asked to recite Bhagavad Gita? Yes? Can anyone say it? What is that verse? What is that one verse that you should say that summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita? Yes, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchah. My dear Arjuna, abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender to me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the essence of the Gita, not Karmanyavadhikaraste. So in any case, having explained this, now Lord Krishna goes on to further elaborate on the concept of what really yoga means. Text 48.
Yogasthah kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga mucyate.
Translation by Prabhupada. Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachments to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. It is noteworthy that Lord Krishna does not explain yoga in terms of bhujangasana or Paschimottasana or Shavasana, he doesn't mention, or Pranayam, no. What is he saying? Samatvam yoga muchyate. That equanimity is called yoga. What kind of equanimity? Siddhi asiddhyo samobhutva. When you are equal to success or failure, to gain or loss, that is yoga. Yogastha kuru karmani. So thus being situated in yoga, kuru karmani. So do your work, Arjuna. Be mentally equipoised. Don't hanker and lament. These are the two diseases of the world. All people are suffering from these two very, very dangerous diseases. Yoga and kshema. And we are hankering, lamenting, hankering, lamenting. We want more and more and more. And when we don't get it, we lament. When we get it, we are overjoyed. But that joy is short-lived, because very soon anxiety overtakes us. How to protect what we have? Kshema. And then sometimes we are successful in protecting and sometimes we are not. Even if we are successful in protecting, we are still more anxious. This time I have saved it. What happens next time? And then if we lose it, again anxious. And ultimately we should lose everything. If not at death, then at least, if not earlier, then at least at death. But Lord Krishna explains, Ananya Chintayanto Mam Ye Janaha Paryupasate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. He says to those who are constantly meditating upon me, always serving me with love and devotion, I take care of the yoga kshema business. I provide what they lack and I carry what they have. It is not the Life Insurance Corporation of India that will do your yoga kshema, but it is Lord Krishna who will do it. He says, yoga kshema vahami aham. So Lord Krishna is the one who is going to take care of everything, so why should we worry about yoga and kshema? Yogastha kuru karmani. You simply do what you are supposed to do, materially and spiritually. Many times people say, well, such and such person, my relative, family member, friend, is coming to the temple, attending class, he's doing this, but he's not performing his duty. He should be doing his duties. But there are so many different kinds of duties. There are duties to the family, there are duties to society, there are duties to the country, there are duties to humanity. Ultimately, there is duty to God. So human being must fulfill all these duties. But in trying to make people do their duties in this world, people forget that the most important duty is towards God. So why should we neglect and forget the most important duty in life? And we should perform all these duties without attachment to success. And having explained this point, Lord Krishna now will say a little more on this subject in the next verse. Text number 41. What happens? What is the benefit to be attained by one who is in this state of yoga? Samatvam yoga uchyate. What benefit does he derive? And if he doesn't do it, then what harm comes to him? Or what is he considered? That is mentioned in text 49.
Durena yavaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanaman vichha kripanah phalahetavah.
Translation: O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers.
Durena hi avaram karma.
Durena, keep far away. Avaram karma, abominable activities. What is the avaram karma or the abominable activities that Lord Krishna refers to? fruitive activities, activities of sense gratification, activities done to enjoy and exploit this world. These are called abominable because they bind us to the cycle of birth and death, because they simply lead us to suffering. So he said, you keep these abominable activities far away by performing Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yogad Dhananjaya. So by performing Buddhi Yoga, you will become free from the contamination of these fruitive activities and that mentality which makes you commit such activities. And therefore you will become free from the miseries of this world. In this consciousness, Buddho Sharanam Anvicha, then you surrender to me now. Who is attached to the fruits of his activities? He is called a miser. First of all, the fruits don't belong to us. The fruits belong to God. That is why Lord Krishna has already explained in the earlier verse, Ma karma phala hetur bhur. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Suppose you are doing a business. What is the result of your activity? Profit. Never consider yourself to be the cause of that profit. Just see, because of my business expertise, I have made so much profit. Or if you are a student, what is the result of your work? The results come in the form of getting your marks, getting first class, second class, distinction, whatever it may be. So never consider yourself to be the cause of getting that first class. So who is the cause? Ultimately, God is the cause of all these things. He is giving according to your karma. So the results of our activities are not ours to enjoy. And such a person is called a miser because he is simply entangling himself in the cycle of birth and death. And actually such a person doesn't understand that by being attached to the fruits of his activity, the only fruit that he is really getting is suffering. The only fruit is to be born again and again and to gain and again. This is the result of fruitive activity. This material world is a place of struggle. It is called Pavarga. It's a very interesting analysis given in the Shastra, explaining what this world is like. You have all learned at least basic Hindi, Marathi, Sanskrit. You know the Devanagari alphabets. So ka kha ga gha ng is called ka varga. Ta tha ta tha na is called ta varga, because it starts from ta or it starts from ka. So like that, pa pha ba bha ma is called pa pa varga. Do you know why? Because the material world can be described by pa pha ba bha and ma. Five things. So what are those five things? First is pa. Pa means parishram. Everyone has to work hard, morning to night. And the struggle is getting harder and harder as Kali Yuga progresses. No one is exempt from working and struggling hard in this world. Even the ants have to struggle hard. Even the elephants have to struggle hard. Although God makes provision for them, but that doesn't mean that the elephant just lies down and opens his mouth and food comes in. Even the elephant has to run after his prey. The ant has to make efforts, and so do the human beings. So parishram, hard work. But what kind of hard work? Pa, pha. Pha means fena. Fena means foam. Foaming at the mouth. Just like a donkey works hard. Sometimes you may have seen a donkey carrying heavy loads, and it is so overburdened that it foams at the mouth. So it is a figurative way of saying, of qualifying with an adjective, how we are working hard. What is the nature of this parishram that we do in this world? This parishram or hard work or struggle is so terrible that it is as good as people foaming at the mouth. Even in big cities, where people are working in very, very high profile jobs, earning lakhs of rupees salary every month, suit, tie, boot, 5-star hotel and all air conditioned cabins, so many things. But do you know what timings they keep? From 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the night. 15 hours, 16 hours, 17 hours, 20 hours work. I met so many people in Bombay, especially those who are highly qualified, with so many days, this, that. They're working in foreign companies, but no life, no personal life. Many times they spend the night in the office. This is the situation. And they're saying it, they think it is worth it because they're getting such a big salary. They don't understand that their company is simply squeezing the very vital energy from them, squeezing out their life air, so that by the time they're 30 or 35, they are completely burnt out. They have no energy left in them, having worked for so many hours every day, practically foaming at the mouth. Of course, if you go to such offices, you may not see them actually foaming. But the point is that they have to work so hard. And then we come to B. Now, because people are acting in this mouth and they are doing all this in ignorance, not in what is not sin, what is proper and what is not proper, so they are performing various kinds of pious and impious acts. So they are getting the reaction of that. The karmic reaction will come, and the karmic reaction binds them to the cycle of birth and death. So therefore there is bondage. Ba stands for bandhan. Because they are working hard in ignorance, performing so many sins and maybe some pious activities, they are bound in the wheel of samsara. And when there is bondage, there can never be happiness. Therefore there is bha. Bha means bhaya or bhiti, fear. Everybody in this world is fearful. From the king to the pauper, from the ant to the tiger, everyone is fearful. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesh syad ishad apetasya vipajayos asmritihi. Because we have turned our back to Lord Krishna, we have created a consciousness that is forgetful of Lord Krishna. In that state of forgetfulness, when we are absorbed totally in something other than the Lord, dvitiya, something other, then what happens? Bhayam, we become fearful. So everyone in the world is fearful today. But one who is a pure devotee of the Lord, whose consciousness is completely absorbed in God, is never afraid even in the most difficult situations, never gets disturbed at any time. But otherwise, everyone is afraid. Bha, bhiti, pa, pa, ba, bha. And then finally, ma. What is mrityu? The full stop, purna viram. Finally, the end of everything is you die. So what is the description of the living entity's life in this world? Pa, pa, ba, bha, life. So supposing somebody gets some big award, somebody gets Nobel Prize, somebody gets this or that, he gets crores of rupees, he has become cricket captain, he has done this or that. So it may sound very disappointing or pessimistic or even rude or harsh to speak like this, but what to do? We have to simply repeat the words of the scripture. And scriptures are telling us the truth. Modern life is becoming very expert at hiding the truth. In India, we are very expert in revealing the truth. Therefore, we have no, even when you go to Bombay on the streets, you will see everything goes on. So, we go to, and in the Western countries, they are on one extreme. Everything is so antiseptic there. Everything is hidden. But here, everything is open. But we don't want this kind of openness also. We want that truth, that frankness, at a spiritual level. You have all heard the story of that little child who called the emperor's bluff. When the emperor came out wearing no clothes, The tailor had said, "Oh, you have made such work." And being afraid of the emperor, everybody said, "Yes, yes, so such wonderful clothes you are wearing." The tailor had made a fool of the emperor, but the emperor didn't want to look like a fool in front of his tailor. So he said, "Well, maybe something's wrong with me. I can't see my clothes. But if the tailor is appreciating and everyone else is appreciating, then clothes must be very wonderful." And all those who saw the king, they saw that he had no clothes, but they knew that if they said it, then their head would be cut off. So being afraid, they all praised, "Oh, such a wonderful cloth, such a wonderful color and design." But one small child who was standing there, he said, "Oh, emperor has no clothes, emperor has no clothes." He started jumping up and down and shouting. Everybody was saying, "Shh, shh." Many times children have this habit of putting their parents in such an embarrassing position. They say the truth suddenly in the middle of some social gathering, when that kind of truth is not to be spoken. So great saints have this childlike mentality. They simply speak the truth, even though it is harsh, but with no envious feeling. They don't speak it with any malice. And it is meant for our benefit. And it is speaking of the actual way things are in this world. If you really analyze the way things are in this world, you will understand that actually the world is simply pavarga. That's all. So we have to come out of this pavarga. Therefore, mukti is also called apavarga. Apavarga means a pavarga, opposite of pavarga. This is another word in Sanskrit for liberation or mukti. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev describes, "Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha tajoshanadashva apavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati." He explains to his mother Devahuti that when one comes in the association of satam, sata, those who are walking on the path of truth, prasangan, in their variation, mama virya samvido, then what happens? Tad joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani. We start moving on the path of apavarga, of liberation from this material world. So therefore, when we perform fruitive activities, it is pavarga. That is our destiny. But when we perform the same activities in Krishna consciousness, we devote the fruits of our activities for the Lord, we work for His satisfaction according to His instructions, that is Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, and that takes us on the path of apavarga, whereas fruitive activity takes us on the path of pavarga. Therefore, Lord Krishna calls it avaram karma or abominable activities, because it simply gives rise to suffering. And therefore Lord Krishna further explains or clarifies this concept of yoga in text 50. Buddhi yukto jahatiha ubhe sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. Translation: a man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. Therefore strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. So here it is explained, buddhi yukto jahatiha. So being equipped with such intelligence, being equipped with such devotional service in this world, iha, here, in this life, sukrita duskrite, you rise above both the good and bad actions of this world. You have to go beyond the good and bad. Now you may say, well, one understands that one should go beyond the bad things in life. But what does it mean to say you should go beyond the good things? Should we not do the good things? Here, Shubha and Ashubha refers to pious and sinful. As we have explained many times before in these classes, piety is simply the other form, other side of the coin of sin. It is the same coin, one side is called sin, the other side is called piety, pious activity, punya and pap. Because both of them bind us to this material world. If you perform pap, then you have to go down to the lower planets, to the lower species of life. If you perform punya in sattvagun, then you have to go to the higher planets, like the heavenly planets, to enjoy. And when you have enjoyed, then you come down again to this material world. Therefore, both punya and pap are causes of bondage. Bhakti is beyond this. Punya is sometimes called karma, although in general any activity can be called karma, but also in a specific context, when we perform prescribed duties according to Shastra, it is called karma. Sinful activity is called vikarma, pap. But pap and punya, that is karma and vikarma, both bind one to this world. But akarma, or spiritual activity, devotional activity, it leads us to liberation. It makes us rise beyond these two. And therefore, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Now, this is a very important phrase. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. That means work is an art. An art requires a lot of training. If you want to learn painting, you want to learn sculpture, you want to learn any art, you have to be trained. So also, you have to be trained how to work in this world. Many people, though they arrogantly describe that simply working is karma yoga, but that is not borne out by the Gita. Again and again, Lord Krishna is contradicting this point. And here he's saying that it is an art which you must learn. You must be trained for it. You must practice it again and again. So why is it that work is an art? Because you must know how to work without attachment to the fruits of work. If you do not know how to work without attachment to the fruits, then you will suffer. Mercury, it's a poisonous chemical. But when an Ayurvedic physician who is very expert uses mercury, it can become a very powerful medicine. So similarly, work. In the hands of a transcendentalist, in the hands of one who is a spiritual expert, that work becomes a very powerful source of liberation for that person. In the hands of an ignorant person, that very work becomes a cause of his bondage and suffering. The simplest example we can give is that of Arjun and Duryodhan. Both were performing exactly the same kind of activity. They were sitting on the chariot. They were shooting bows and arrows and other missiles and weapons. Both were fighting exactly similarly. But one knew how to work, the other did not know how to work. So one, that is Arjuna, attained the highest destination, and Duryodhan did not attain that highest destination. What is it about Arjuna that made him attain the highest destination? Because he was doing what he did only for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. He had no personal interest in this. He did not have a vested interest or any selfish motive. He was working simply according to the instructions of Lord Krishna. Whereas Duryodhan was working simply for his own selfish motives, for his own sense gratification, and for his own ego. So work has to be done by all of us. But if we do not know that this work has to be done for the pleasure of the Lord, then it is like taking poison, like taking mercury without understanding it from the proper physician. Therefore, Lord Krishna explains in the third chapter of the Gita, यज्ञार्थात कर्मणो अन्यत्र लोकोयम कर्म बंधन तदर्थम कर्म कौन्तेय समाचर। यज्ञार्थात कर्मणो, वट एवर कर्म यू शुड डू फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु। अन्यत्र लोकोयम कर्म बंधन, इफ यू डोंट वर्क फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु इट विल सिंपली बी बंधन, कर्म बंधन। बट इफ यू वर्क फॉर हिम देन यू विल बिकम फ्री फ्रॉम दिस बॉन्डेज, यू विल बी एबल टू रिटर्न टू द किंगडम ऑफ गॉड। दिस इज रियल योगा, दैट स्टेट ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस वेर यू आर फ्री फ्रॉम द ड्यूअल्स ऑफ द रिजल्ट्स एंड फ्रूट्स ऑफ योर एक्शन, वेर यू आर वर्किंग सिंपली फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ द लॉर्ड, एज अ रिजल्ट ऑफ विच यू रिवाइव दैट लॉस्ट रिलेशनशिप विद गॉड, एंड अल्टीमेटली आफ्टर लीविंग योर बॉडी यू रिटर्न टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड, नेवर टू कम बैक इन टू दिस पवर्ग एवर अगेन। सो नाउ इट इज टाइम फॉर द दर्शन, वी विल हैव कीर्तन, आफ्टर दैट वी विल हैव क्वेश्चन आंसर्स इफ यू हैव एनी, एंड देन देर विल बी प्रसादम। थैंक यू वेरी मच। हरे कृष्णा। श्री श्री राधा गोकुलानंद की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की जय। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।